everyone. Welcome to episode 23 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where nobody likes us because it's the 23rd one. That's a hot Blink 182.
Wow, that was.
That's a hot Blink 182 reference, Eric. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Krause.
I feel like that was still kind of dark. Like, if we didn't add the Blink 182 reference, kind of makes it dark.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess maybe no one will like this episode, and maybe that's the curse. They call it the Blink 182 curse.
If you do like this episode, rate it on iTunes.
Yeah, listen, before we start, everyone, if you enjoy this show, if you've ever enjoyed this show, or if you think maybe one day you will enjoy this show, give us a rate on iTunes. Share us with your friends. Tell your mom about us. Maybe she'll like it. She play games? Even if she doesn't, we're a hoot to listen to. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Late for Embargo, where all of our podcasts are slowly being posted with fun thumbnails that I make, where Eric is hidden somewhere inside of them.
Some of them not very hidden.
Yeah, some of them pretty over the head. A lot of them, I don't know, some of them are pretty low-key. You have to really look.
Yeah, low-key is that I'm in the background kind of faded out. Like,
yeah, basically. But yeah, we're scheming, we're hard scheming. Soon we will have video content up on our podcast. Up on our YouTube channel, whatever. It's been a long day. Eric, before we get to the hot topic, I have the second rendition of this segment called In the News.
And is that what we're calling it? Is it called In the News now? Yeah. Is that like our official title?
Yep, it's called In the News.
All right, super creative. Well, we're so good at titles on this show.
Two items on the Roper Report.
Well, that's just straight ripoff.
Wrong show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
first story comes from IGN News from one Colin Stevens. So just go give them a click so that it doesn't feel like we're just stealing the news. Yeah. Halo 5 gifts players with last slice pizza scan in response to fans' pizza deliveries. So basically the gist of this is that after it was announced that the Halo Master Chief Collection was coming to PC, fans ordered pizza for 343 Industries. And 343 Industries was like, oh, that's really cool, you guys. And they put a pizza scan in Halo 5. I just thought this was like a very wholesome story. Sometimes we don't talk about great wholesome things like the last time we did this segment.
Yeah. Is the pizza skin only in the PC version of the game?
It's in Halo 5, which I don't think is on.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's only in Halo 5. It's not in like the collection. I thought it was like to all.
Yeah, it's in Halo 5.
Oh, okay.
So well, that's kind of funny because it's like, oh,
yeah,
it's like,
the PC people that are happy, and then it just they don't even get the pizza skin.
I'm sure that, you know, it's not out yet on PC, so maybe
it'll be there.
Be there.
Seems kind of rude if you don't, because they're the ones that gave you pizza.
We should order more pizza for you know,
just people,
developers that we like. That should be a common practice.
Are developers like addresses? Like,
yeah, no, I yeah. They, I mean, they Google have it, offices yeah. that you could presumably order pizza to.
I mean, what? I don't know. That just seems sketchy.
Yeah, that does kind of seem
like. I wonder if they even ate the pizza, because, you know, you never know. Like,
yeah, someone, yeah.
A lot of people are like, yeah, don't send us food, because we don't know what you did to that. Like,
that's true. Maybe just send them a nice hand-drawn card.
Yeah, do that.
Cut out a heart. You know, it's really easy. Cut out the heart from the thing, right? I love you, 343, on there and mail it to him.
Yeah, just punch the heart out of a Master Chief, and then just send him that.
Eric, I have one more news item to talk about. This is from gamesindustry.biz from one Brendan Sinclair. Finding their authors is a little bit weird because it's in a weird spot.
Yeah.
Titled "About Those Rumors, Sony is Buying Take-Two," and the article is basically saying that there does not seem to be any basis for this rumor. There's no, like, obviously Sony kind of said there are no plans to buy Take-Two.
Yeah.
But who? Who
it was
knows?
Like a bonkers 2 hours when this was going around.
Yeah, when I saw this on Twitter, I was like, "There's no, dude. There's
no way.
There's absolutely no way. That would be the most insane thing to happen in as long as I can remember."
Yeah, it would have been bonkers if Sony just like straight up bought Take-Two. That would have just changed like everything.
Because Take-Two, publishers of Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption, NBA 2K, BioShock.
Yep.
Quite an arsenal there.
It would have been like Sony is already killing it with the exclusives way better than Microsoft, because I mean, what Xbox exclusives other than their sweet pizza skins for Halo, you know? So like it just would have been bonkers. Like the next iterations in like Rockstar games would have either they would have exclusive content in them or be exclusives to Sony. It would just be insane.
Yeah, that's absolutely wild. Because, I mean, really, I feel like this would have just been a giant shift in the market. Because I know people who really only play, like, Grand Theft Auto.
And I also don't think Sony has nearly enough money to buy Take-Two.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, really, Microsoft's the one with the kind of deep pockets there.
And, like, Take-Two, they're rolling in the dough from Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead and stuff like that. So, like, I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 alone is just, they're set.
Yeah, I wonder
how. So I don't know why they'd sell out.
It's,
like,
it's kind of interesting, because why doesn't Rockstar, like, self-publish those? Because, I mean, they also are just absolutely, like, rich.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know anything
about. Because they don't need to, I guess. They have a good relationship with Take-Two that, like, they can do whatever they want and release a game every 7 years that's, like, just a money shoveler. Just fucking taking money out of people's pockets.
Anyways, it was a fun rumor when it, you know, but it's apparently, it's looking like it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Always a good what if.
Yeah,
also,
yeah.
We should just start spreading rumors if it's this easy. They could be as ridiculous as we want them to be, you know?
Microsoft's going to buy Sony.
Yeah, Microsoft going to buy Sony. Get the first Xbox PlayStation hybrid console. All cross-play. You could play with your friends no matter what console they have. That'd be sick. And then you'll finally be able to change your names on PSN.
While we're talking about just, like, Sony exclusives and stuff, this is only tangentially related, but am I the only one who's, like, I'm really excited to see what Microsoft does with some of those new studios they bought?
Yeah, well, we're just kind of waiting, though.
I know, but, like, mainly Ninja Theory, because I loved Hellblade so much. I just feel like they're going to make something fucking awesome.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Hellblade was cool. Like, if they make a full, like, Hellblade, what, is 4 hours, maybe?
It took me, like, 6, 7,
yeah.
8.
Okay. So, yeah, but it's still, like, it's not, like, a full AAA game. Like, I can't imagine, like, them with plenty of time and plenty of money to make what they want.
That's what I'm saying, because that game already, I mean, I feel like it kind of filled that, like, AA kind of room.
Yeah, area.
And it was so visually, like technically impressive what they did with, like, the audio and the visuals in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am so excited to see what they do with all that Microsoft money.
Yeah. Plus, like you said, the stuff where they did with audio was so cool in that thing. Like, I'd just be interested to see how they play with audio, or, like, how other people in the future decide to play with audio, because just the whispers were so cool in that game.
I kind of feel like that might be sort of an untapped market.
Yeah.
Like, there, because I just feel like that game, I was like, wow,
I feel
this,
like,
is,
yeah,
like, new.
We've nailed the visual elements where God of War literally looks real, almost. And so let's just go into the audio realm where you just make people trip out and lose their mind with scary whispers behind them and start making them paranoid someone's in their house.
Yeah, I really only could play Hellblade. I remember playing in my dorm room, and I could only play it for like an hour or two at a time. Like, it actually was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, trips you out.
They bought Obsidian too, didn't they?
I believe so.
That's cool. I'm excited to see what they do.
Speaking of visual elements too, I don't know if you saw, but on Netflix there's this series where David Fincher and Tim Miller directed, and it's like just a bunch of anime shorts, but like they're like super hyper realistic animation. So it's like it basically looks like they're using God of War's engine for some of this animation stuff, and it's super trippy to watch because you're like, did they use real people? It's just super, like, at some points you're like, that's a real shot, like they got a camera and shot that.
Are they cool? Like, are they like,
yeah, they're all super trippy. It's like basically Black Mirror, the animated series.
Okay. Yeah, I'll
except
try.
For like, for some reason they, it, like, each episode, like, for some reason has an obligation to either show a dick or boobs.
No.
It's really weird. I don't get it. Like, in some episodes it makes sense why their person's naked. Other episodes it's like, you just put a dick in there.
Speaking of crazy visuals, did you see these character models for Devil May Cry 5? I saw people posting some videos and screenshots and stuff.
No, but I've seen the GIFs of them that the one dude, Sunni Legend, posts, and they're just ridiculous.
No, yeah, but, like, the character models in that game are, like, scary. Like, I kind of, it actually is, like, very unnerving that they look so real.
Yeah, well, like, Sunni Legend posted one of the devil boys, like, combing his hair back with his hand. I was like, that looks freaking ridiculous, especially because I played Dragon Age this weekend, and like the hair is just glued to the character model's faces, and so like seeing actual hair move, it was just like, what is this?
Yeah, spoilers, I bought Dragon Age Inquisition this weekend, and we're gonna be slowly working our way through that to
do a show about it
at some point. That's exciting news. I've never played a Dragon Age game.
Neither have I, and I'm real fucking confused playing this one.
We'll figure it out, I'm sure. I don't know,
yeah, it'll be something.
Eric, it's time for a hot topic. sponsored by Hot Topic. Just kidding, not this time, but maybe at some point in the future.
One day for sure. We're going to get it one day.
One day.
If it takes 600 episodes, we're going
to
do it.
To be fair, I haven't reached out to them.
Yeah, we haven't reached out. To be fair, we're just hoping that they reach out to us.
Yeah.
But again, we're already doing it anyway, so why would they ever give us money for it? I don't know.
I feel like Hot Topic is one of those like really weird companies that like maybe if I did say like, oh hey, like we do this thing and we call it Hot Topic, do you want to give us $20?
Yeah.
They might be like,
that way we could say it's actually sponsored by Hot Topic.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Like maybe play it in the store like at midnight when no one's there, like when you're closing.
Man. All right, this comes from you, Eric. This is your hot topic, and I want you to introduce it. Tell me what you're thinking.
So I realized over this weekend that there used to be a time in space a few years ago when, like, games just didn't seem like they came out very often. Like, you'd have to wait, like, every fall to, like, get, like, for, like, a few games to come out, and then you'd play those games for about a year until the next fall. And I realized now for like at least 3 years it hasn't been like that, but just over this weekend I played 6 games and I just was like, there's just way too many games, and now there's even more games coming out. Like right now we just got done with basically a dry spell, which a dry spell would consist from January to like August, and now the dry spell was just February. Because like I mean, in January we got Resident Evil 2 and then a bunch of
Kingdom Hearts.
And then February, we really didn't get anything. We got Anthem.
And Division. Division was March. Yeah, so I mean, it felt like, at least for me too, it felt like nothing was coming out that I was particularly interested in for a month and a half.
Anthem was the only one I was interested in, but then I just got disinterested in it, and for good reason. But I think like the Division 2 really kicked this whole season of games off. Because now we got Division 2 at the beginning of this month, I think it was like the 12th or something. And then this week, as of recording this, this Tuesday, a game called Satisfactory comes out into early access. And then on Friday, the day after this goes live, we have Sekiro. And then next month, we have Days Gone. And then on the same day, Mortal Kombat. And then basically we have May. I'm sure there's a game coming out there that I didn't look
up. There's
a
lot of stuff coming out this summer, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just bonkers. And like, just too many games down.
I just feel like, I messed with my mic. I just feel like at some point people realize that like the spring was kind of a good time to release things that necessarily didn't have that punch of like, you know,
a
the big names,
AAA thing.
The Halos and the Call of Duties and stuff. So, you know, we started getting games like Horizon and like
God of War came out.
Yeah.
Uncharted 4 also came out.
Yeah.
Spring.
And so I feel like now we have this whole spring rush of just fantastic games.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the year. And man, this is just a whole nother topic in itself, is that like I just do not have time to play all of the things I want to play or the money.
That's what I was thinking about, because like I want to get Satisfactory and I want to get Sekiro, and those both come out this week, and that's $90 right there, because Satisfactory is $30 and then Sekiro is going to be $60. I also have the dilemma of I don't know what platform to get Sekiro on, but we can get into that. And then next month, I want to get Mortal Kombat and I want to get Days Gone, and that's $120 right there, just for those two games. It's like, I don't have the money. These games need to be spaced out more, so I have more money to get them.
Every time a new game comes out, I'm like, God, how am I going to pay for this, dude? Because, you know, we're both pretty broke college kids.
Yeah.
And our podcast is not big enough to get review codes.
No.
And so, like, when Spider-Man came out, I remember I was like, I just traded in a ton of games to GameStop, and I took my, you know, $2.50 per game, and I got that game. But then every time I'm like, damn, I want to keep these games because I feel like maybe at some point I'll go back to them, but then in reality I'm probably not going
to.
So
you just get digital that you can never sell.
Well, yeah, but then, Eric, I will never be able to afford another new game.
Well,
like this,
get a job
once I
that
have,
pays well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When Sekiro comes out, though, I have enough like GameStop rewards points to get like $40 off that one, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, with Sekiro, like my biggest problem is I don't know what to get it on, because we have spring break next week, and so I want to get it on PC so I could run it at 60 frames and in that beautiful 1080p, but I won't be home to play it, or like won't be here to play it on my PC because I'm going to like Tennessee and stuff, and so like I want to get it on PlayStation just so I could play it, but then and again, it's like I'd much rather be playing on PC, so I'm just having this moral conundrum of where to play it right now.
So, are you going to bring your PlayStation to Tennessee?
No, but I'll be home for a little bit, and I have another PS4 at like at my parents' house where I'm going. So
okay, oh yeah.
So like I could just upload my save, like I could start playing it this weekend, then upload my save, and then play it at home. But then it's just like I don't know. I'm only, you know, and the thing is, I'm only gonna be at access to my PlayStation for like 2 days. So I only be playing it for like those 2 days. So it's like I might as well just wait to get it on PC.
I would say get it on PC just because you know it's gonna look way better
and play way smoother.
And probably your PlayStation's gonna sound like a fucking.
Oh,
my engine.
PlayStation! I played so one of the six games I played this weekend was Apex, and man, that game. I have headphones in, so I don't really hear it while I'm playing. But when I take my headphones off and shut my PlayStation off for a good 5 minutes after I shut my PlayStation off, it is still running like the fucking space shuttle that Elon Musk built to fucking shoot to Mars or whatever. It's so fucking loud. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I actually, dude, I cannot wait until like the next gen of like when I'm forced to buy another console. Cause this, my PlayStation, I love it so much. So many good games on it, but man, it's just running like garbage.
I mean, it could probably, if I just open it up and blow the fans out, it'll probably sound way better. Like it'll probably be way quieter too, because I'm sure there's just a ton of dust and stuff in there. And so I really should do that, but, like, that's a lot of work. I don't want to do that. There's such high risk in that, too. Because, like, once you open it up, you void your warranty, which I don't think I have a warranty on it anymore.
Yeah, anyway. But it's still kind of spooky.
Yeah. But it's, like, I should just do it. I mean, I built a PC. I think I can go about navigating the PlayStation parts pretty fine to blow out the fan.
But, so you know, we're both in college. When are you playing games? Like, what's your biggest, like, you know, most high playtime areas?
The weekend, when I don't plan on doing anything. Like, this weekend, I didn't plan on doing anything, so that's why I played so many games this weekend and got, like, through a lot of games because I just didn't do anything else.
My conundrum is that I am just constantly on my Switch because I'm, you know, out and about at my girlfriend's house and stuff, and I keep saying I should bring my PlayStation over there, but, dude, her TV's so small. I just feel
it's
like it's
really
not worth it.
It's really not that small.
It is.
No, at it's home, not. Compared to your TV, the fact is you're just thinking of your TV and how close your TV is to the couch or to your bed.
I have just horrible eyesight. That's the problem.
Yeah, so just move your TV closer.
I don't know. It seems like a whole thing. And especially this week, I'm like, I have so much homework to do. I should
this week. I'm super glad, A, we don't have classes on Tuesday, and B, that everything's due tomorrow, basically, for me, because Satisfactory probably drops at 11 p.m. tomorrow, Central Time, for us. So, like, I'll have everything done by then, and then I can just play Satisfactory for basically.
I want to hear more about this game, this Satisfactory
game.
So,
it's basically, I discovered this because this YouTube channel I follow just posted this random video that's been like, hey, should we jump in and play this game? And I'm like, what is this game?
Plug him, Eric. What channel?
Neebs Gaming. They do kind of these cinematic videos of in-game stuff. It's kind of like Machinimas, but not as like, it's not like rehearsed or anything. Like,
oh man, you remember Machinima?
Yeah, that's why I just brought him up.
Oh, well, I know.
Not
just
the
like
company Machinima, like the videos.
Oh,
Machinima.
That's what I was confused because I was like, yeah, Machinima, not a thing anymore.
Yeah, no, like the video style Machinima, not the company Machinima. That totally ruined the video style Machinima because now everyone confuses the company with the actual video style. So the act of making a, like a movie, basically, or show in a video game is what it is.
Oh, okay. Like Red versus Blue.
Yeah, exactly. Red versus Blue is the Machinima, basically, when you think of it. So they do that, but it's like not as rehearsed. They're basically just playing game, but they kind of cut it so it looks cinematic, and like they always have a spectator cam going around to get shots and stuff. And so they posted this one of Satisfactory, being like, they played like Alpha Weekend or whatever for the game, and then I'm like, this game looks rad. So basically, it's just a factory building sim, and all you do really in it is you go and you just harvest resources so that you could build your factory, and then you build the factory to automate your resource gathering, and you kind of, it's like that loop of you're trying to just like exceed to like full automata and have it just be maximum efficiency. I don't really know what the end game is, but I'm just sold on the whole idea of max efficiency and getting full automata.
This does sound like a game that's really up your alley.
Yeah, like, oh shit. A lot of mic troubles today. Okay, and so, yeah, I've kind of gotten obsessed with this game. I noticed the video is like went up on like last Thursday, and I've been just watching a ton of gameplay of this game like all weekend, and I'm super excited for it, because all it is you just building, and just organization. Like, you could get to the OCD level of just getting things perfectly straight and, like, having, like, you could set up full power grids. Like, the first thing I'm doing in this game, there's, like, first tasks or whatever, but as soon as, like, I have, like, the things I need, I'm just setting up, like, a full power grid just to not have to worry about it and stuff. And, like, you could get, you start out with, like, biomass power, and then you can get into coal power, and I've been seeing things like that end game has like nuclear power and like stuff like that, and like there's like space elevators, so you can harvest like stuff from space. I think I'm not really sure what the space elevator does, but then there's like a drone that goes off, and there's vehicles you could drive in the game. And the cool things about the vehicles is you could autopilot them, so you could set them on a route so they'll go to your route, gather the resources, and come back with your resources.
Damn, this sounds kind of sick actually.
And yeah, and the game's like only coming out in early access, and this seems like a full ass game. Like,
so is
out.
this is only a PC?
Yeah,
release?
PC. It's on the Epic Game Store coming out Tuesday.
Okay.
The
is
19th.
It an Epic Game Store exclusive?
I believe so. Yeah, it's not on Steam or anything else.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, this game looks sick. I can't wait, and I've been falling down the rabbit hole with it. Like last night, I was literally watching a video and like screaming at my monitor because he wasn't being efficient enough. Like he hooked up like two biomass energy conductors to like things, and so it really was pointless because the one was already doing the job. So he was basically using two parts and burning two parts of fuel instead of just burning the one part of fuel. So he's burning fuel twice as fast when he only needs to burning it like the one. And so I'm like, come on,
man. All right, Eric, you're losing me. I think we should move on.
All right,
I'm really excited for Sekiro.
Sekiro looks awesome too.
I just think, I always say this, I feel like every time a new game comes out that I get kind of excited for, I'm like, this is the one that's gonna make sense for this series, because I played a lot of Bloodborne, but I never beat it because it was like one of those things where I fell out and I just did not get back into it. But I, once that game like clicked for me, it was super cool. I loved the combat. I just didn't love the world. I just didn't love that kind of.
You didn't
of,
love
like,
Bloodborne's world?
No, I kind of just, I don't
man,
know.
Man, Bloodborne's world was so cool. I love the hyper-gothic.
Yeah, that's, I wasn't into the super, like, dark, like, kind of, like, I don't know, everything was kind of just a fucking bummer in that game.
Yeah, that's why I love it.
But I loved, like I said, I loved playing it. Like, the act of, like, actually playing that game was super cool. I thought the enemies were awesome. But Sekiro looks vibrant and really, like, exciting to look at.
Japanese feel to it.
Yeah, and I love everything I've seen of it. Like they kind of have gotten rid of like stamina, and like the combat just looks more. I don't know. It looks more like dynamic.
It's much faster. You could like jump in this game, which is kind of weird.
Like it's crazy that I was seeing dudes like I was watching some playthroughs and people were just like running around and like killing enemies really quickly, and so. Obviously,
I think they were in a beginning area. I wouldn't expect the whole game to be like
that. No, I know. It's just like, I don't know. It just looks really.
More fluid than a Bloodborne or Souls game is. It doesn't seem as slow paced.
Yeah, and I'm excited. The grappling hooks looks awesome for like kind of the more like mobility type things. I just think that this game, I'm really excited to play it.
I'm just hoping I'll beat it because I usually always trickle out in these games. Like, I never beat Bloodborne, I've never beat any of the Souls games. So I'm hoping I'll beat this one.
I am going to, I think that the, it's going to have to be more like a sprint for me. Cause the problem is, you know, some games are marathons. You take a long time. You kind of play them slowly.
Yeah.
I just think that that's the wrong approach. Cause at some point I'm going to be like, I don't even remember how to play this game.
Yeah. So, I'm going to have to, my goal is I'm going to sit down. The problem is Satisfactory is also going to be out. I'm going to be playing this game and Satisfactory basically the same time. But my goal is I need to beat Sekiro before Days Gone and Mortal Kombat comes out. Especially Mortal Kombat. Because Days Gone will be whatever. I'll be able to jump in and out of that one. I don't think, like, that game doesn't seem like it's going to be hard to remember what's going on very much. But, like, Mortal Kombat, I'll be so obsessed with. And I'm sure I'll be needing to practice playing that game so I could fight Adam in that. And, like, so that game I'm just going to be completely... Once that game comes out, I'm just going to be enthralled in that. So I just have to beat Sekiro before that comes out. Otherwise, Sekiro's going to become Bloodborne for me, where I think about playing it and beating it all the time, but never do.
Yeah. The crappy thing is that it comes out on Friday, and I leave that day to go back home, and then I leave on Sunday to go to Florida. So I'll, and I'll be at Disney World for a week.
Yeah, and spring break for us, just horribly a convenient time.
Yeah, you'd think it would be like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I normally spring break's like, yeah, I get to go home, relax, just play games all week. But this year, I'm actually doing something.
Which is sweet.
Which is sweet. I've never been to Florida. I've never been to Disney World.
But
I'm really
excited.
Just
like Sekiro, you could come out like the week after or a week before.
Yeah.
That would have been better. I believe Sekiro.
Yeah, so that's a bummer. But I will definitely get it right when I come back. I'm going to try to play through a bunch of it. We're going to do an episode about it. I'm really excited. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited. Like, there's just so many things coming out that A, I cannot pay for, and B, I have no time to play.
Yeah.
So I've just been.
The good part is, and the bad part is, we only have like a month and a half left to school.
Yeah, and then we're into our own place, which would be exciting.
Yeah, and then we'll be making money and have a lot more free time.
Yeah, I was just saying, dude, every time I think about having a job and just like having actual money to spend, I'm so excited about
it. And the fact that you only work 8 hours a day and then you have just so much more time.
Yeah, because it's nice to be able to, like, when you have more of a set schedule, then you kind of schedule yourself time to do specific things.
Yeah.
Because the problem when I, like, you know, I'm here, I'm like, oh, I have like an hour now or whatever, 2 hours now. And then it's like, I don't like playing that kind of incremental whatever.
Yeah, I want to sit down for a few. And then it's like, oh, I have 6 papers to write this week. And they're all just a fuck ton of words and just going to take 3 hours at least for each one. So it's just like, good thing we don't have class on Tuesday.
Sweet. Yeah. Hell yeah. Eric, let's get to the game of the show. Bum, 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 bum. Game of the show. We're talking about, you know, normally we're very upbeat on the show. We talk about games that we love. We, you know, we're praising. We're giving high praise. We're talking about just basically how great God of War is.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about a game that you said you kind of just despise.
Yeah, so much.
And that is Ark Survival Evolved.
So basically, from here on out, if you've ever been on Steam and scrolled down to the review section, if you go on Steam, look at Ark, and scroll down to the review section, because basically that's what the rest of the show is going to be, is it's going to be negative reviews, like people just talking shit about the game, and then you look at their hour count and it will say like 1200 hours played, and like in their review they'll say this game was a waste of time and money, but they played for 1200 hours. So that's what this game, this rest of the show is going to be, is my negative Steam review of my 1200 hours in Ark. So I probably have about 1000 hours in Ark on PS4 and then about 100 hours on PC in this game. And man, do I hate this game.
It's so funny because I did exactly what you said. I went to Steam, I looked at Ark, and one of the very first reviews is, after about 1,000 hours of the toxic community, I recommend you stay away from this game.
Exactly. See, that's all. That's 100% true.
So I need to hear a couple things. A, why have you played so much of it? And B, what is so infuriating about it?
If I could answer that first question, I probably would have stopped playing. But I think the biggest reason, let's start from the beginning. So me and my friend Jake, who I've mentioned a plethora of times on the show, played a ton of Minecraft like before Ark came out. And we were kind of getting bored with it. And he's like, hey, check out this game coming out pretty soon. It was already out in early access, but at this time we didn't have PCs and we just had like PS4. And he's like, hey, it's coming out, and I think it dropped in December. And he's like, hey, check out this game. It's basically Minecraft, but with dinosaurs, you know? I'm like, that sounds terrible and not fun. I'm so tired of Minecraft, because Minecraft is also another game I have way too many hours in. And so he's like, no, it'll be fun. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I watched the trailers and stuff. I'm like, this game just doesn't appeal to me. And so, yeah, it comes out December. We get it. And then from there on out, I was right, and I rub it in his face all the time, but I guess he was also right, because we put 1,200 hours into it. And so we played a ton, and yeah, it's basically Minecraft where you mine resources, you use those resources to build stuff, but you can also tame dinosaurs, and the dinosaurs help you get resources faster, and then they are also used as a defense system, and you can use them to attack other dinosaurs. And then there's the whole online element of basically there's... If on PS4 we only ever played on official servers, which are just the worst. Just because dealing people are just the worst. I don't know if you know this, but humans just suck.
So are these like...
strange, especially humans in video games just are the worst. Like, people lose all humanity.
Are they griefing you? Is that what's happening?
There's griefing. There's a whole thing called raiding in this game, which is you raid people's bases and take their resources, you know? Or you could just do it for fun, you know? Or just to be an asshole, which... So when this game first came out, raiding was fun, and it was thrilling to get raided or to raid people. And because the game just came out like on consoles. So people playing on consoles, they weren't the early access people, so they didn't really know how the game worked. And so like it was just basically chaos, like figuring out the game. You could deal with people a lot easier. But like at the time when we finished playing on console and switched over to PC, like... just being on servers are terrible. If you're trying to start a base, you have to start several because they're probably going to get just raided. There eventually came these things that Studio Wildcard made called for unofficial servers called offline raid protection servers. So if you got offline, your base couldn't get raided. But like in other servers, you could be raided at any point. So like even if you're not, your character's not there to be played, like your base can get raided and all your stuff gets stolen. So early games were like that, where we'd have a lot of stress dreams, like for real, about this game being like, fuck, I had a dream last night that our base just got destroyed and all our stuff was gone. And we'd be complaining to each other. It's like, oh, no, our stuff isn't gone. And you log on, you're just wiped. There's nothing. You have nothing left except for maybe a dodo. And you fucking love that dodo because it somehow survived. Or you have a dung beetle. That's all that's left. And, yeah, so the online system is just something you grow to hate. And you grow to hate everything in this game eventually. Yeah, and so what was the other question part? So that's why I play it.
Well, I guess you said you answered them both. I said what was frustrating about it.
Oh yeah, there's so much. I could get into more. Do you want more frustrating?
I do. I don't understand. I still don't understand why you keep playing.
Like I said, if I could answer that question, I would have quit playing fucking 900 hours ago.
So you're always playing with your friend?
Yeah, I always play this game with my friend Jake.
And what are you guys doing? Just building a base? Just taming some dinos?
Okay. So Jake and I have been friends since freshman year of high school. We were on cross country together, and we have the kind of friendship that if you heard us talk to each other, you'd be like, those guys are not friends, because we just fucking make fun of each other all the time and shit on each other. And so we are a terrible team. We do not work together well at all, but for some reason in Ark, we work very well together. He hates building and doing architectural design kind of stuff. And loves to go out and tame and, like, fight shit and, like, kind of gather resources. And that's all the shit I hate. And I love building. So basically what would happen is he'd go out, tame shit that I could use to gather resources so I could design and build our base. And then I'd build a super intricate base while he's basically gathering and trying to get really strong dinos that we could use to defend and stuff like that, and then we'd get raided, and then we'd start over, and then we'd start over. And this cycle repeats for 1,200 hours.
So where are you at right now? Are you still playing?
No, we stopped playing. So what, we switched over to PC in, like, September, and we played from October to January, and we had just a massive base. So we had a fully metal base. Metal is, like, the most defensive base you can get, like, pre-boss fights. There's boss fights in this game that you kill the bosses that are, they're super unbalanced and hard, and you
are they dinosaurs?
Yeah, they're like mutated things. Like on like the island, there's three bosses. There's a giant spider called the Brood Mother. There's a giant ape, I can't remember what it's called, and then there's a dragon.
Is it called King Kong?
No, it's not. But it's basically King Kong. And then there's a dragon. And you kill those three. And there's different levels. There's Gamma, Beta, and Alpha, I think. And so you kill them at different levels, and you unlock these tech blueprints. And you unlock Element, which helps you build the tech. And tech is basically the end game and stuff like that. It's like the strongest material you can use to build out of. It's the strongest. You can get like a full tech suit, which is basically an Iron Man suit. And so you're super defended, and your weapons do a ton of damage. We never got there because it's super difficult, and it just requires so much time. But anyway, at the point we ended in January, we had a full metal base that was huge that I built. We were on, at this point, we were on PC, so we were playing on an unofficial server. So it's a much better server than officials, because it followed, like, everyone in the server has to follow the server admin's rules, because these servers are made by people that are real people and not the Studio Wildcard devs.
Okay.
So they're actual monitored servers. And so, like, there's a set of rules. You could report people and actually get a response. Like, you have to do certain things and stuff. Like, you can't grief or, like, build structures just to claim land and stuff. There's a whole bunch of different rules that you have to follow. And if people break the rules, there's, like, consequences and stuff. And so this server we played on was, like, for people who can't play this game 24/7, which is basically us at this point, because I'm in college and he has to work for a living. And so, like, it was a much casual server, so we could get on whenever we wanted. But the problem was, when we were playing, like, hardcore to this, it was, like, final season for us and stuff, because that would have been in December and stuff. And so I was super just not involved in the whole process, and he would just be playing a ton and get, like, a ton of stuff done. And then I just got super removed from it and just not attached to any of our stuff, so I just didn't care if it disappeared and stuff. And eventually it whittled away on him where he didn't care anymore, and so we just stopped playing, and all our stuff despawns eventually and gets deleted.
Are you missing it at all?
Not at all. I don't think I will ever play this game again.
So you feel relieved? You feel like the Stockholm Syndrome is wore off?
Yeah, because there definitely was. We weren't playing this game, like, 24/7, like, every day of the week, like, all month. Like, we'd go in spurts. We'd play this game for, like, 3 months and stop for 3 or 4 months and get back into it, because there would be, like, it was like doing drugs or, like, snorting cocaine, where it's like, yeah, get that high, get that adrenaline after a while. But then you're like, my life's ruined. I'm, like, in shambles. My wife left me. And so you kick it. But after a while, you get the withdrawals and you need it again. And that's basically what it was. And so this last run was basically, yeah, I'm done. This shit ain't hitting like it used to. And it's just not worth it anymore at this point. Not worth the pain. Not worth, like, the stress. Not worth the anxiety that comes with playing the game. And it's just, like, after you put 1,200 hours into something, you look back and you just, like, I could have put 1,200 hours into literally anything else. Like, we got a MIDI keyboard recently, and I put about 2 hours a day into practicing that. And I'm like, man, if I put 1,200 hours into playing this thing right now, I'd be so good at it. But it's like, I don't have that time anymore. Like, that time's gone. It's just a huge blacked out period of my life that is just wasted.
So I'm watching this video on Steam right now, and I'm not going to lie, this looks very fun. People are riding around on scorpions.
The game, to its credit, as much as I've been shitting on it, it is fun. The mechanic, it works well, for the most part. In some areas it doesn't, but the game is fun. All the mechanics are fun. The survival elements are there. And building, while is super annoying and doesn't work in when you want to do stuff, if you're trying to just do simple structures, it works super well. But when you play 800, 900 hours of it, I don't want to build simple structures anymore. Like, that doesn't cut it. And so that's when the build system gets complicated.
So basically what you're saying is that this game is...
If you want a game, if you like survival games, then definitely play this game. But I'm just letting you know, it's gonna ruin your life, and by the end of it, you're gonna just hate yourself and the fact that you put so much time into it. Unless you have a strong will, unlike me, then go for it.
Do you think that this game, because of the whole, do you think it's unapproachable because of these tons of people who are just ready to fuck your shit?
No, because it depends. Like, if you get into it right now, the server population is probably going to be a lot lower, because the last big update to the game, I think, was in December or, like, November. So usually a ton of people flood servers and stuff. But then after a while, the populations dwindle down to, like, the people that play it consistently. And usually people that play it consistently, you could refer, like, they're referred to as alphas, usually the top person on the server, basically. And usually if they're a good alpha, they'll protect people who are just coming in, be like, no one fuck with this person or we'll actually destroy you, and you'll have to be lower than this person, basically. But that's if they're good alphas. Like, there's also people who are bad alphas who will just take control of all the take control of the full server, wipe everyone in the server, and then go around and systematically figure out all the spawn points on the map and put basically a metal prison there. So if you spawn in, you're just stuck.
This is crazy. So these people, are running their islands like tyrants.
Yeah, basically. And then after a while, they'll get reported, and then, like, they'll get kicked off and their stuff, so the server can repopulate. Okay. That's why official servers are just a living nightmare. Like, if you can play on an unofficial server, like, go through, there's, like, a bunch of websites you can use to find a good unofficial server. And, like, try to find that. Try to find a good unofficial server. I don't know about unofficials on consoles, because I never played on unofficials on consoles, but I'm sure there are some. They don't probably run as well as like PCs, because there's people that put up like server farms to run like a server and stuff. So it's just kind of bonkers.
Okay. This game looks wild. I have no interest in it. It seems like I loved Minecraft, but it does not seem to have that same kind of like.
It doesn't have the same. I don't je ne sais quoi that Minecraft has, where you're mining peacefully and you're building your stuff peacefully. There's nothing peaceful about this game. You're fighting for your life constantly because a random dinosaur that's just aggressive will spawn right next to you and fuck your day up, and then you gotta go get your shit. Or people are griefing you and raiding you, and you have to defend yourself. And then so it's just not nearly as peaceful. And plus, you don't need nearly as many specific resources as you like in Minecraft as you do in this game. Like in Minecraft, you could go get cobblestone, and just with cobblestone alone, you could make stone blocks to make your house. In this game, if you want to make a stone house, you need stone, wood, and a material called thatch, and then you need just varying amounts of them to make different structures and stuff like that.
Is the structure building as I don't know what I want to call it,
intuitive?
Can you make like crazy cool structures, or is it more functional?
Both. You can. There's people like you could like go on like Google image search and just like cool arc structures. And there's people who make like awesome like there's like a winter biome, and so people will make like cool like log cabin style buildings and stuff. But the problem is if they're doing that on like their own personal server that people aren't allowed to be on, so their base doesn't get raided. Like if you're playing. Like with on multiplayer, like you have to build it more functional than designed to be. It's much more functional than I can't think of the word either. But like it can't be pretty. You can't make a pretty base when there's people that can destroy it. Like I learned, my whole base philosophy when it came to design was to build a box, which was your base, and then build a box around that base. And then there'd be turrets on that box, and then you build another box around that, and then there'd be turrets on that one. So in order to raid our actual base, you had to get through a box that had turrets on it that were shooting you. And then once you got through that one, then you'd be like, yeah, sweet, we're through. But now it's another box with turrets on it. And like that was my whole design philosophy, was annoy the shit out of them so they'd just leave us alone because raiding us wasn't worth it.
I want to know more about these dinos. You can tame them? Can you ride them all around?
Yeah, so you can ride pretty much every dinosaur in the game, and you can tame every dinosaur in the game that's not a boss.
How do you tame a dinosaur?
So there's different things you can use to knock them out. So you basically have to knock them out. That's number one step, is knock the dinosaur out. And there's different ways to go about doing this well and efficient. A good player will use a trap usually and just lure the dino into the trap. They get trapped, you shut the trap, and then you just shoot them until they pass out. And then once they're passed out, you shove meat or berries into their butt, and then you just kind of wait. You don't physically do it. You just put it into their inventory, and you just kind of wait. And so then there's different levels. There's an app called Dotodex, which we used a ton, which had like all the numbers listed out. So you could set you could set the server rules of taming settings so that it would change mathematically, and then it will give you a different thing. Because like, say you're taming a meat dino, there you have multiple sets of meat like to give it. So you could give it raw meat, and that'll do maybe like that'll do 20 minutes to take to tame with just raw meat. But if you use prime raw meat, that'll take maybe like 12 minutes to tame it. Or if you use raw lamb chops, then you it'll take maybe 5 minutes to tame it. And so there's all these different levels you can do to tame it.
Okay,
but basically,
okay.
The essential is you knock it out, and then you shove its food into it, and you basically wait. And then there's whole things you could do, starve taming, which is kind of the best method to getting the most stat boost. Because you get a stat boost, you get a taming boost, basically, which will give it a higher level once you tame it. Because all these dinos have levels as well, and they all have certain stats. So you could basically, you want to get a high-level dino that has good stats, because you could also get a high-level dino that has just shitty stats and it's just not worth it, and then you end up killing it. And then there's a whole breeding system, which will kind of go in with these stats and levels. So, like, say you tame a T-Rex, it's maybe you tame it at the highest level you could find one wild is 150, I believe. And so you tame a 150, and, like, say it has good stats and it has a good melee stat, which is what you want a T-Rex, is having a high melee damage. And so you'll be like, sweet, this is, like, actually really rare to get a good T-Rex with a high melee. And so then you want to go and find another T-Rex that is also high level and the opposite gender, and then has if you're lucky, you'll find another one that has a high melee. But you want to find it with another good stat and, like, well-rounded stats. And then you could use those to breed them, and then you could get a baby, and then you have to go about – there's a whole – the whole – raising a baby is just terrible. Terrible, and it's just a ton of time you have to spend.
Sounds like real life, raising a baby.
Yeah, it really is. You have to spend a ton of time. You basically have to sit, as soon as the baby gets pooped out, you basically have to sit there and force feed it food. Otherwise, it will just starve and die. And you have to do that for, depending on the server settings, the shortest amount of time will maybe be an hour. You're just sitting there just staring at this
like
thing.
Like real-life time, an hour?
Yeah, a real-life time, an hour.
Oh, my God.
This is all real-life time, not in-game time. And you're just staring at this thing, force-feeding it. And then after a while, like once it hits 10%, that it can eat out of the food trough you have. And so you could kind of leave it there. And then there's a whole imprinting system that which you like it'll take like... It'll be, like, imprint on it, and you have to do one of X certain things to imprint, which will give it basically a stat boost. And then it's like, okay, 8 hours until next imprint. And 8 real hours.
This
and
sounds
so
horrible.
You could either get back, either play for another 8 hours, get off, get back on in 8 hours, or just miss the imprint and miss the stat boost, which is what we ended up doing a lot in the end. We're like, I don't care enough. But there were times where, like, we need this stat boost to be able to do a boss fight. So it's like, all right, I guess I'm getting up at setting alarm and getting up at 4 a.m. so I could get on for 2 seconds to imprint this motherfucker and then get off and go back to bed.
So once you're taming these dinos, you're using them to fight bosses and stuff?
Yeah.
Can you set them to, like, defend your place?
Yeah, so there is different settings you could set dinos to. You could set them to be aggressive, which they'll just attack anything they see. You could set them to be neutral, which will be they won't move or get attacked unless they get attacked. And then there's passive, which they'll just sit there. They won't attack no matter what. And then there's a bunch of directions. You could whistle them to follow you. You can whistle them to attack a specific target. And you could basically do whatever you want with them, and then you could obviously all ride them and attack while riding and stuff like that.
All right. Damn, this game sounds just dumb, like, deep.
I don't know. I guess I don't. At this point, I don't see it as deep as much as just tedious and a chore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that, like, I don't know. Some of this stuff seems like maybe designed that way for no reason. Like, I don't know. It just seems like maybe they're trying to. I just don't understand, like, why you would need to feed an animal for an hour of real game time.
Of real lifetime, yeah. Well, I don't... It's to make it difficult, because, I mean, if you could just go around taming stuff, like, instantly, you'd have just people with just overrun. Like, you could tame everything on the server, basically. Every dino you see, you just tame. And so this way, it kind of... risk-reward is not the thing, but it's basically, I don't know, time versus effort, I believe. Like, is this dino worth my time? Like, is the effort I'm putting in to get this piece of shit worth my time? Like, or not worth it at all? Like, with the whole breeding system, we got to a point where we were murdering babies if they just, like, it's not worth the time. If they don't have the stats, just kill them. Like, that's it. And it seems super dark. You're just murdering a baby dinosaur, but like it's the stats are good. Just kill it. It's not worth it. So
this is sounding less fun by the minute.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a whole story to this game, but after $1,200, I couldn't tell you a lick of what the game's about.
So there's like missions and shit?
No, there's stuff. There's like these things called Explorer Notes, which give you an XP boost, which are all they're good for. But like they're basically a written thing. You could go through and read them. But I mean, I don't know. There's something about these. It's basically telling the story, I think, of these people that ended up on the arcs, which are what these what the game is. That you're on these arcs, and that's like where basically servers are. And so there's the island. At this point, there's the island. There's Scorched Earth. There's Ragnarok, which is unofficial, I think. Ragnarok's not part of the story. Yeah. Yeah. Ragnarok's not part of the story. But the ones that are part of the story, Island, Scorched Earth, Aberration, and Extinction. And
are these all different servers that you can be on?
Yeah, these are all different maps, basically. And then Ragnarok was a fan-made map that they just implemented actually into the game to be a quote-unquote official, but not part of the story official. But and Ragnarok's the best map in the game.
Okay, so you're not playing like a caveman or anything, because I saw people had guns and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You start out basically as a caveman. You're using wooden spears and clubs, and then eventually you can get guns, and then eventually if you get to the end game, you get the Iron Man suit.
Can you fly around like Iron Man?
Yeah, you can fly around like Iron Man.
Shit,
you fly around super fast. I think with the tech suit, you're the second fastest flying thing in the game. The first being wyverns, which are basically dragons. And you could tame wyverns. Well, you can't tame them, but you could raise wyverns is what you have to do, which that's a whole annoying system where you have to go to a wyvern area, which wyverns are basically flying dragons, all intents and purposes, that they either shoot poison, fire, or lightning. And you have to go in to their nest area and steal an egg. As soon as you steal an egg, every wyvern near you goes aggro on you, and you have to get away with that egg and fly for super far because they'll just stay aggroed on you for a while. And all the while, they're shooting everything at you, fire, lightning, and poison. And you have to avoid that and get away. And then after all that's done, you then have to hatch the wyvern egg. But to raise the wyvern, you have to use something called wyvern milk. So you have to go find a female wyvern, knock it out, and take
milk it?
Yeah, basically, and knock it out and take the milk out of its inventory.
Oh, my God. I have some thoughts about this.
All right, let me know what your thoughts are.
The game sounds, like, this sounds fun. Like, everything sounds, like I don't know, the whole thing of, like, oh, man, I'm taming dinosaurs, I'm building the base, like, all of that sounds fun.
Yeah.
The things that do not sound fun are A, sounds like way too much work.
For sure.
B, I don't like the online aspect. Obviously, I get that that's like kind of a huge part of it, but like that sounds very annoying.
Yep. People suck.
And I guess that's just, I don't know, it just sounds like too much effort for
yeah.
like.
And that's why I'm super excited for Satisfactory, because A, there's no timing, it's just, or taming. It's just building factory, and there's no people to deal with. There is multiplayer in that game, so you can build with friends, which is cool.
All right.
And no one will be able to just take my factory from me, and I can't wait. Like, all my dreams will be about how to make my factory more efficient and not about people taking my factory away.
We'll stay tuned for Eric's thoughts on Satisfactory, I guess. Do you have anything?
We're going to have a full... my prediction was we're going to have a full-fledged podcast about Satisfactory. And I'm going to get so nerdy into math. Like, I've never been nerdy into math before. And it's going to be the most boring podcast ever, I'm sure. But I can't
I'm curious.
Wait.
I really am curious to know about this game, though. Because it seems cool. Here's the issue. I don't have a PC.
Yeah.
Do you think it can run on my laptop?
On your Mac? I don't know. Probably not.
I see.
My
I'm not
prediction is no.
I'm not a PC dude. Is there like a way to know if something will run on my Mac? Like, is there something that like in Steam that's like, hey, this is not going to work?
Well, you could go into the game settings and look at the requirements, or you could go. There's a very handy website called Can You Run It? I believe is what it's called. And all it does is you go to the website. You have to download a driver that basically does a diagnostics check on what your specs are for your computer. And then you could just type in into the search what the game is, and then it'll pull up the search, and it'll be like recommended requirements, and it'll be a green check mark if you hit those recommended requirements, and then it'll be minimum requirements, and it'll be also green check mark if you hit those minimum requirements.
Okay, okay. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
My guess is no, because every time I open Premiere, my laptop's like, nope.
Considering you can't export a YouTube video without your computer sounding like it's going to blow up, I don't think you're going to be able to run Satisfactory.
It's actually very funny, because I do, most of the time I upload I export just literally our audio, like podcast in Premiere with like a thumbnail over it in class. And everyone definitely knows, because my laptop is just making the loudest noise.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But it runs Undertale, which again, not a very...
Oh, did you play? Is Undertale on console?
Yeah, well, it's on my. I have it on my Mac.
Oh, is that where you played it? I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's where
I
played it. I re-downloaded it to play it again.
Oh, sweet.
And it runs fine, because that game is not.
That game, I downloaded it and purchased it and I hit install and then I was like, wait, is it installing? And I'm like, oh wait, it's already installed, because it's like 326 megabytes.
Yeah, well, this game was made in fucking Game Maker, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, just like, oh, I thought it wasn't even installing for some reason, because it was done instantly. Because, like, I'm wired in for my PC, so I just have bonkers internet speeds. And so, like, I downloaded Dragon Age, which is a 26-gigabyte game, in 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's just bonkers. And so, like, I was super confused that I just didn't even see a download bar, because it was that quick for Undertale.
So, do you have any parting words for anyone who wants to get into ARK, or maybe some wise words for someone who is in too deep?
I mean, if you know you're into survival games, then definitely check out ARK, because it is a very good survival game. I mean, it's a fully built full game. You don't have to worry about stuff. There's obviously still some problems, as is always with a game that's like kind of always online, like this game is. And if you're in too deep, if you're still into that cocaine period where you get withdrawals, then you're just going to have to keep playing until the game beats you out of it. Until you just get so low that you know you can't go back.
All right. Are you good?
I'm good. That was a good 30 minutes of me complaining. Yeah. I needed that.
Everyone, this has been the genericgamingpodcast.mp3. Thank you for listening. If maybe you thought that the hot topic today or something was lame, you know what? You do better. Give us your hot topic.
Wow, we're just really attacking the audience today,
yeah,
I feel.
Listen, I'm just saying, if you're not happy with it, give us some feedback. Leave a review on iTunes. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Or even if you want to, DM us at us on Twitter. DM us on Twitter at Lo Myhre, at LOMYHRE on Twitter. Or Eric, what's your deal?
It's in the description.
Oh, it's in the description. Add us on Twitter. Do whatever you want. DM us. We would love to hear.
Or
from
you know, if you like the podcast, let us know that too. Actually, if you don't like it, don't let me know. If you don't like it, let Logan know. I don't really care about the negative shit, but if you like it, let me know.
Well, I mean, I'd like to, you know, improve. I'd like to hear what people are unhappy
with. Oh, yeah,
if
you have good, like, constructive feedback, go for it. But if you like, man, these guys fucking suck, I don't want to hear that shit. I'm just going to block you and move on with my life.
You know, the sad thing is that I actually might be just kind of excited that someone, like,
Interacted.
I'd be like, dude, Eric, like, I guarantee I'd screenshot and be like, dude, someone like listened to it and like said that we suck.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't love them though. So,
all right, tune in next week when Toby Fox comes on to talk about Undertale.
Is Toby Fox guy made it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm like, who's this Toby Fox guy? Usually, it's someone I know.
Eric, you got a lot to learn, man.
Well, maybe I'll learn next week's podcast when we talk about Undertale.
Anyways. We love you. Unless you suck, then we don't. And you should probably work on that. Have a good one.